I'm disappointed. Looking out at a room full of lawbreakers. I mean, all of them. I'm with you. I'm in it with you. But every single one of us is sitting here today breaking the very Word of God. How dare we not worship on the Sabbath? I mean, you know that, right? We, as the followers of Jesus, break the commandment to worship on the Sabbath every single week. Did you know that? You bunch of lawbreakers. Did you know that? The fact is, when is the Sabbath? Friday night. Yeah, how about that? How about we start back worshiping Friday night, 7:30. Friday night, sundown to Saturday, sundown. That is Sabbath. It's when the Jews have their celebrations. Where our Christian brothers and sisters who are Seventh-day Adventists, that's when they do it. We worship not on the Sabbath. We're a bunch of crazy lawbreakers. We are the rebels. 150 brownie points for anybody who knows why we worship on Sunday. Okay, Betty. Amen. 150 brownie points. Well done. Are you Gryffindor or Hufflepuff? Which one do I give the points to? So, well, that's right. The Christian church absolutely changed everything by breaking with tradition and law to, instead of worshiping on the Sabbath, which is what everybody was supposed to do, but instead what we did is this. And Noah, please come front, down front with your family. Thank you. This is what we do as the people of God, is we broke the rule to better and most fully understand and experience the kingdom of God and what it means now that Jesus shapes it anew. We worship on Monday to celebrate the resurrection. And have you ever noticed that when you read our resurrection text, what it says is this: on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb taking the spices that they have prepared. So the first day of the week is Sunday. And that's why we worship when we do. We have a really good reason for being a bunch of lawbreakers, don't we? Now, if you think about it, you probably break a number of laws in your life. I break one every day. I do not, and this will come as a shock, I'm sure, to all of you, but I do not always, or at times, most of the time, I will exceed the posted speed limit on the roads. I will be so brazen as even to set, I will set my cruise control. Like, yeah, watch this. It says 65, I'm setting cruise control at 68. Yeah, what are you going to do about that? That's right, brazen law breaking. The reality is, we are a country of laws, and we are a country and a nation of laws, and we are a faith that has laws. Yet, there's also something to be said for pushing the boundaries of those laws when it becomes more in line with the gospel and the teachings and the work of Jesus Christ. And that is what happens today in our gospel lesson. Jesus was a lawbreaker. At least that's what it seemed like to the people who were so wanting to make the law the ultimate that Jesus said, yo, wait a minute, people. Notice what Jesus does not do, and I want to make this very clear. Jesus doesn't come out and say that the law is wrong. He just reinterprets it in light of his gospel, and that's what he does today. When he heals this woman, imagine being the woman who needed to be healed. Imagine being bent over for so long and to seek respite and hope only to have Jesus come and bring healing to you. And he does it on the day, and instead of those religious leaders celebrating and giving thanks to God and saying, "Oh, sister, you have been made well," they instead said, "Jesus, I can't believe you broke the law. How dare you do something to help this person?" And Jesus looks at them and calls them out on their hypocrisy. "Are you kidding me?" he says. That's what it reads in the Greek. "Are you kidding me?" No. What he says is, okay, other places in our understanding is if your, you know, your ox, your animal, your beast of burden is thirsty, you can feed and do that. But if my disciples walk along and pull some grain and eat it because they're hungry, and you are condemning them and condemning the healing, well, you got it all wrong. You see, the whole do not pick grain on the Sabbath had a very real reason for that. It was economic. You see, that was the day of the Sabbath. That was when everybody was supposed to take time off. But instead, if you were some enterprising young capitalist in Jerusalem and in Galilee, you might have gone and, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to get some of my bushels early so tomorrow morning when market opens, I can get there before people and maybe I can make a little bit of extra bucks." That's why they said, "Don't do that. That's unfair." When other people are abiding by the Sabbath and you're not for economic advantage, then you are breaking the law, the spirit of the law. That's what it was about. It wasn't about people not eating. But people can get so caught up in those laws. We want to be right. We want to be righteous. And Jesus is like, "I'm all for righteousness. I'm all for all of you doing that and doing what God wants you to do. But come on, people." He says later on in the Gospel of Matthew, he says these words to him. He says, "You guys are so good at following the law that you will tithe even your spices. You will tithe mint, dill, and cumin, but you forget the weightier matters of the law of justice and mercy and love." And so while we all are a bunch of lawbreakers, breaking the Sabbath every week, the reality is this. I think Jesus would be pleased. Because Jesus, we recognize that what we are doing in worshiping on this day is to be mindful of the ultimate gift that God has given us, that it is the resurrection life of a God who comes near, always to make our life better and more full. If we look at the history of our country, we'll see that there were times when to make our union better, we have broken laws. Heck, our country was founded by people breaking the law. You know? Boston Tea Party, anyone? In the course of human events, when one people must break up the combination, something along those lines with another. You know? You've heard all that? You know? Rosa Parks, ring a bell? Anybody remember her? What about Susan B. Anthony? Women, have you heard of her? Was she broke the law? You know, again, not because breaking the laws is good. It's because sometimes the law, to be more just, as Jesus has taught us, to be more just, we must indeed take something on that might be difficult. Throughout our lives, that has happened. It's happening even today. It's happening in a lot of places around our country. It's happening along the border. It's happening on other issues. People of faith are taking the realities of our world and saying it's not exactly the way it should be. While the law says this, maybe mercy, love, and justice trump. And that's always a tough call. But it is gospel. I'm going to read something that my wife gave. gave me, which I love this. Desmond Tutu. How many of you heard of Desmond Tutu? He unfortunately could not come to our wedding, even though we did invite him. Heidi had a class with him while we were engaged. I got to meet him. He taught her class when she was at Emory. And Desmond Tutu, we invited him to our wedding. I think he said he couldn't make it because he was going to be somewhere in the United States, but he didn't know where. But he wrote us a very nice note and wished us and said he would pray for us. So we have autographed copies of his prayer book. And this is something he said about reflection. He wrote Reflections on Wholeness. And I want to share it with you guys this morning because I think it speaks to what Jesus did. You know, Jesus does things to make things better and more whole and more just. And I believe his reflections on that here speak to it. And it really speaks to us, I believe, in our American experience, being very busy people. He writes, "Busy, normal people, the world is here. Can you hear it? Wailing, crying, whispering. Listen, the world is here. Don't you hear it? Praying and sighing and groaning for wholeness. Sighing and whispering. Wholeness, wholeness, wholeness. An arduous, tiresome, difficult journey towards wholeness. God, who gives us strength of body, make us whole. Wholeness of persons, well-being of individuals. The cry for bodily health and spiritual strength is echoed from person to person, from patient to doctor. It goes out from a soul to its pastor. We, busy, normal people, we are sick. We yearn to experience wholeness in our innermost being. In health and prosperity, we continue to feel unwell, unfulfilled, half-filled. There's a hollowness in our pretended well-being. Our spirits cry out for the well-being of the whole human family. We pride ourselves in our traditional communal ideology, our extended family. But the beggars and the mad people in our streets, where are their relatives? Who is their father? Where is their mother? We cry for the wholeness of humanity. But the litany of brokenness is without end. Black and white, rich and poor, Hausa and Yamba, Presbyterian and Roman Catholic, we are all parts of each other. We yearn to be folded into the fullness of life together. Life together with the outcast, the prisoner, the mad woman, the abandoned child. Our wholeness is intertwined with their hurt. Wholeness means healing the hurt, working with Christ to heal the hurt. Seeing and feeling the suffering of others, standing alongside them, their loss of dignity is not their loss. It is the loss of our human dignity. We busy, normal people, the person next to you with a different language and culture, with a different skin color or hair color, it is God's diversity, making an unbroken rainbow circle, our covenant of peace with God, encircling the whole of humanity. Christians have to reenact the miracle of Good Friday. The torn veil, the broken walls, the bridge over the chasm, the broken wall of hostility between the Jew and Gentile, the wall between sacred and secular. There is no wall. There is only God at work in the whole, healing the sores of the feet, salvaging the disintegrated personalities, binding the persons back into the whole. For without that one, we do not have a whole. Even if there are 99, without that one, we don't have a whole. God, who gives us the strength, make us whole. Make us whole. In Jesus' name, amen.